You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the management of KUCI or the UC Board of Regents. For more information about this show, go to kuci.org. Welcome to In the Garden with Master Gardeners. I am Katrina Kirkaby, and I'm here today with Tina Spindler, your UC Master Gardeners. And welcome, Tina.
Hi, Katrina. It's so fun to be here during the holiday season.
Oh, my goodness. It is really exciting. I always love doing these shows with you. And today we're going to be talking about gifts from the garden. There's so much to talk about.
We are. And I have a whole list of things I'd like to cover. We'll see how much we manage to get through. I have a feeling that we'll run out of time. But I know for me, just beginning my holiday shopping, I get a little frustrated and overwhelmed, you know, going to the store, seeing all the sales, trying to find the right sizes, the right gift for this person and that person, especially the people who, I'm sure you have some on your list, you know, who have everything and you have no clue what to get them.
Oh, exactly.
So doing this show and thinking about this really brought my stress level down, because it just makes me so happy to think that you can provide someone with a homemade, really heartfelt gift that had its origins in your garden. I mean, what could be more personal and more meaningful than to have something that you produced from your very own garden and turned into a gift for your loved ones?
And a beautiful gift at that.
We're going to try. We're going to try and make them beautiful. Absolutely.
And I think it's not that hard to do, especially just a little bit of thought, and we could do a lot with it.
Yes, we can. And Katrina and I actually worked on one of these together this past week. I think we've mentioned on the show before that we have a sister organization in the University of California Cooperative Extension, and it's called the University of California Master Food Preservers. And they were holding a holiday gifts making class last week that Katrina attended as one of the assistants, one of the volunteers putting on the class, because she is a master food preserver. I am not, and so I was just a student, but it was actually really fun being a student because you didn't have to do any of the work. You just got to do all the fun stuff.
Oh, it's fun doing it both ways. You know, could I tell people a little bit about Master Food Preservers?
Yes, I was going to ask you to do that for sure.
Master Food Preservers is a wonderful organization. It's like Master Gardeners, but it's mostly with preservation of food. And what we do, our mandate is we go out and we teach the public healthy, safe practices to preserving food. And we have many, many classes, and you can go on our website and check it out. We make it, it's at a level where you don't have to have experience. You come, you learn. It's very nurturing. It's a lot of fun. And check it out on the website and see if it's something you might be interested in.
Absolutely. I had a blast going to this class, and if you want to see what classes are coming up in the future, you can go to their website at ucanr.edu/sites/files, and that's where you'll be able to find some of the recipes that we're going to tell you about today.
And if you happen to be driving around and you can't write that down, you can go to our website. Just Google Master Gardeners or Master Food Preservers, or you can Google Master Gardeners and look at what we're doing. And we'll have the show recorded, and you could listen to the show all over again.
Definitely. We have all of our shows recorded, so scan that list, and if there's something that you're interested in, you can always click on it and listen at your convenience rather than at the live broadcast. But back to this class that I attended last week with Katrina, we made a chocolate raspberry sauce during this class, and what is really cool about the Master Food Preserver classes is that they are hands-on. And so we actually made three different things during this two-hour class on holiday gifts from the preservation class. And it is awesome because you not only get to listen to someone telling you how to do something, you actually get to hands-on stir and pour and measure and, We did canning, hot water bath canning of this chocolate raspberry sauce. So if you didn't know how to can, you learned how during that class. So I really encourage everyone to check that out and maybe sign up for a class in the new year.
And each class has a theme or two, and it's a really a friendly group of people. And what we really want to do is make people feel comfortable. And sometimes it seems so, one of the biggest things it seems that I hear people, they feel it's so overwhelming. And it's a lot. And you break it down and it's not, and we give you time to practice in class and give you notes and recipes. And
yeah, it's just, I'll tell you what, it was one of the, I mean, Katrina knows I've organized a lot of classes and workshops myself on gardening, not on food preserving, but on gardening. And I have to tell you, as an instructor, I was so impressed with the organization of this class. It was excellent job to you, Master Food Preservers. Very well done.
It's a great group of people. I'm glad to be a small part of it.
Yeah. So anyway, we're going to go and tell you about that little gift, chocolate raspberry sauce, a little later in our broadcast. But first, I wanted to tell you some really quick and easy things that you can do with some pre-purchase things at the, just that you can find at our local stores like nurseries and home improvement centers. So let's get started doing that. And because I just think that all of us are pressed for time this time of year. And so maybe you don't have time to do a canning project. So let's start out by just talking about a few quick and dirty.
Quick and easy.
Quick and easy. Quick and dirty.
And they look beautiful.
Yeah.
Where do you want to start, Tina?
Well, the first thing I'd like to start with, because everyone knows by now that bulbs are one of my favorite things to garden with. And what you find in many stores from the big box retailers to the nurseries to even Restoration Hardware and some of those other more boutique kinds of gift places are these bulb starting kits. And these kits come usually either with amaryllis or paper white bulbs. And it's wonderful just to buy one of those kits and give it as a gift to someone.
Wrap it up, put a bow on it.
Yeah.
Do you know somebody gave me one years ago? Many, many years ago, and I lived in an apartment in Santa Monica, and I planted that thing, and it came, I didn't know anything about gardening, and it came up year after year after year.
Yeah, it's one of the ways, that's why I do love bulbs. It's one of the first things that I ever planted, and they are so rewarding and so foolproof that it's a great way to get started in gardening. And I like these kits because they do come with everything that you need to get started. But what I like to do with them is I like to take it a little step further, particularly for those friends of mine I know who don't really garden very much, but who do love blooming, plants. And so I'll actually buy the kit and put it together myself. And what I usually do, because the cheaper of the kits, because the main thing that you need out of the kit is the bulb, right? That's what you're going to be planting, that's what's going to give you the beautiful show. And so these kits will come with a little potting soil usually and usually a plastic little pot to put the bulb in. Well, to make it a really nice gift, what I do is I buy or I recycle because I, you know, save pots that I get constantly. But find a pot that is just beautiful. You know, maybe one for the season. Maybe you find a gold pot that would just look gorgeous for the holidays. Or maybe this amaryllis bulb that you've bought is going to have a bright red bloom. Find a bright red pot that's going to coordinate with that bright red flower and is going to look really festive for the holiday season. And then once you have that beautiful pot, you go ahead and pot up that bulb. You know, let it start growing a little bit. Take it as you're showing up somewhere on Christmas Eve, a family get together, and you have an aunt that you want to remember, but she doesn't need anything in the world. How wonderful to give her this potted amaryllis bulb that is going to bloom a few weeks after Christmas.
And they last so long.
And then she's going to have this memory of you after the holidays that will continue to give her joy.
Do you know the amaryllis that I got years ago that the people that gave it to me, they had an infant baby, and that infant is now in college.
Oh, my gosh.
And they moved many, many years ago, and we're still in contact. But that amaryllis is what made me, it was the first time I've really ever noticed one.
Wow.
And it stood out, and it was beautiful. So these things could be a gift that keeps on giving year after year.
They are memory makers, I think. And of course, you can always dress the pot up by getting some of the wired ribbon and, you know, making a wonderful, beautiful, showy bulb that you tie around the pot. And it will just be a very, I hope, cherished gift.
And it could be for Christmas or Hanukkah. You could put blue ribbon with a white. And
absolutely.
Beautiful.
Gold or silver for the new year. Make it be a nice new year gift or, you know, party hostess gift. So anyway, but moving on quickly, because these I just want to get through real quickly. You can do the same thing with the paper white bulbs. Paper whites are a member of the daffodil family. And they're much smaller than the amaryllis bulbs, which are generally about 4 inches or so across. They're huge bulbs, the amaryllis are, and you only put one of those in a pot. Whereas the paper whites, when you get those in a kit, you generally get 6 or so of those bulbs to put in a pot. And do the exact same thing with them, you know, get a really nice pot, plant them up, decorate it with a bow, give it as a wonderful gift, and then several weeks later, your recipient will have this wonderful flower to continue that feeling.
And you don't have to remember it now, because you just get the idea now, and when you buy it, it has directions.
Exactly!
You don't have to remember going, oh my gosh, am I going to remember how to do this? It's simple, and there's directions in there.
The kits come with directions, so don't worry about it. Another quick thing that you can do with the paper white bulbs, I love this for holiday dinners, is I like to take a single paper white bulb. I like to fill little of the small half pint canning jars, the clear ball canning jars, fill those with gravel or pebbles, and they're just wide enough for one daffodil or one paper white bulb to fit in that jar, and it just sits on top of the gravel. You fill it the water up until it's just touching the bottom of that bulb, and that's what we call forcing a bulb, right? Is we don't actually plant it in soil. We let it just force it to bloom indoors in our nice warm temperatures indoors with the roots touching the water that is in those pebbles. And when you use that as a place card setting, you can then put a place card on a little bamboo skewer and stick that in the pebbles, and now you've got this really cute place card that people can take home and have this nice little bloom that will occur, you know, a couple weeks after the dinner, and they'll continue to remember your dinner with you know, such fun memories. So anyway,
and when you go in there and you see something unique like that,
right?
It's something simple to do, and it could just be that added extra touch that really doesn't take much time to do, and people will go, "Ooh, you're really talented."
Yeah, yeah. And then one other quick one. Instead of using bulbs, another thing I like to do is get a holiday mug. You know, there's so many cute mugs out, and you can get them for like 99 cents at, you know, Michael's or, you know, some other store. And I like to take a single 3-inch, 2 or 3-inch herb and plop one in each of the mugs. And again, get the place card and the bamboo skewer and put people's name on the place card and stick the skewer in the little pot. And then folks get to go home with a mug, and inside the mug is this little herb, which they won't leave in the mug. They can take that out and plant it in their garden. But, you know, what a fun way to have a place card setting.
Or you can go to a thrift store and get unique little containers.
Oh, there you go.
And just put the unique little containers, and it could be a red little wagon or
Fun. Yeah.
You know, it's whatever theme you're doing, or a color. You could pick up different colors for your table setting and match your flowers. Just simple, simple, simple.
Yeah,
you don't have to spend a lot of money.
No, go to a thrift store or a store like craft store like Michael's or, you know, Joann's Fabrics or one of those stores, and just look and see what they have. You know, there's so many creative little baskets and, you know, jars and different things that you can use this time of year. think of something fun to make your holiday table really festive and give your gifts a little souvenir.
Yeah, and remember to have fun.
Yeah, mostly have fun. Don't stress.
Yeah, this Absolutely. Is not something you stress no. with.
But these little projects are fun to do with your kids as well. You know, you get these mason jars. If you're going to force the narcissus bulb, the paperwhite bulb, you give your kids, you know, so you're having 10 people, you give them 10 jars, you give them a bag of gravel, you put them outside, you let them fill them up with gravel, plop a bulb into each one of those. I mean, gosh, they'll have a ball, and they'll think that they're so important and such a part of the festivities because they actually got to prepare this little party favor.
They'll be proud.
Yeah, and let them write the place cards. Wouldn't you want to have your name written out by, you know, in a childish hand that says, you know, Auntie Katrina, you know,
yeah.
You'll keep that little place card forever. It'll be so fun.
I love it.
So anyway, those are some real quick ideas. And again, with the herbs, as we've talked in previous months, you can always put herbs together in a basket or a pot and create a living arrangement to give as a gift or take as a hostess gift to folks that you're visiting. And as I've said in previous shows, I always like to stick a favorite recipe, write out the recipe on a recipe card, put that on a bamboo skewer, and stick that in the little herb pot, because then the folks that you give it to not only have the recipe to make your favorite herb rolls or dill dip or whatever it is, they also have the herbs, the fresh herbs right there.
That's it. And put a big bow on it and decorate it somehow, or some bells or a Christmas decoration or Hanukkah decoration, and just stick it in there and fluff it up. And it looks really special.
Yeah, it does. And these things are don't take much time, and they are really meaningful when you give them to folks. So those are a couple of easy things. Do we need to do a station ID or anything before I get into a longer project?
About 12 minutes or so.
Okay, good. Then let me move on to what we did at our Master Food Preserver class.
Yeah, Tina is a really good student.
Well, I love to eat. It's easy to be a good student when you love to eat.
Tina, tell us, what was the favorite thing you did that day?
Well, it's the one that I'm going to talk about today, right? It's the chocolate raspberry sauce. We also made a flavored mustard, which was lovely, but we don't have time to do them both. And so I chose, because who doesn't love chocolate? And who doesn't love raspberries?
It's chocolate and raspberries. It's easy, it's simple, and it's fun, and it tasted really good.
Really good. And the idea is to make this either as a gift or to use at one of your holiday meals, because you can, using this sauce, have the most delectable dessert that's going to take you no effort. Because the way they served it at the end of class, because, oh yes, they feed us what we make, was a scoop of ice cream with this chocolate raspberry sauce.
Oh, it was really good.
And it was really good.
Was
In
really
fact,
good.
I was really sad it was such a small portion. But but anyway.
Put that in the comment box.
Yeah, bigger portions of ice cream. So anyway, this is what we did. This is a sauce that you will end up canning, but if you have never canned before and you want to do this anyway, never fear. You do not have to can it by putting it in a hot water bath. You can make it the day that you're going to give it, or make it and keep it in the refrigerator and then take it and give it to someone with the instructions that they need to store it in their refrigerator. So the only reason that you can it is to preserve it in the cupboard.
So shelf life.
Shelf life, right. Katrina could tell you more about all of that bacteria stuff.
Oh, let's don't deal with bacteria right now.
But instead, we'd rather you went to the Master Food Preserver website to find out all about that stuff.
So what we're going to tell you about is put it in your refrigerator and use it.
Yes.
Or give it as a gift and tell them to
exactly.
use it maybe when you give it as a gift. Like, feed this to me tonight.
Yeah, exactly. So when you make it, if you're not going to can it, if you don't know how to can, keep it in your fridge until you're ready to take it to a dinner or wherever it is you're going to go, and then tell your recipient again to store it in the refrigerator. But it is so good, you'll probably use it all up the very night that you give it. So, yeah, I don't think it's going to last long.
No, and it's something, you know, you can make a, you know, that day or the day ahead and just put it in your refrigerator, and I know I try to prep when I'm doing a lot of holiday parties, and I've spent so much time in the kitchen that I miss out on my guests.
Right.
And this is something you can do ahead of time.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I would do this the day ahead, and I would this is so easy. If you can stir, you can make this. So
exactly.
Let's get started, because that's all you need to know is how to stir. So let's get started on how to do this. In fact, I'm going to give you the website where you can actually print out a copy of this recipe. And again, it's ucanr.edu/sites. And then there's a tab for recipes when you get to the webpage. Click on the tab on the webpage for recipes. And then you can look for the holiday gifts item on the list, and then if you click on that, the recipes will come up for what we made. So for chocolate raspberry sauce, you'll need to get about 6 8-ounce jars, and you can get the canning jars. Gosh, I just get them at Albertsons.
Yeah,
you can
grocery store is fine.
Grocery stores, Walmart has them, a lot of places have them. But you'll need 6 of the 8-ounce jars, and then the ingredients that you'll need to actually make this recipe is 1/2 cup sifted unsweetened cocoa powder. Then you'll need 4 1/2 cups of crushed red raspberries. And the easiest thing to do is to just get 2 12-ounce bags of frozen raspberries.
That is so easy.
Yeah.
12-ounce bags.
Right. So just get 2 of them, let them defrost, and you'll be good to go. Then you're going to need 6 3/4 cups of granulated sugar. Yes, I know that is a lot of sugar, but remember, you're not eating the whole thing. You're putting like a tablespoon of this sauce on your ice cream. So.
And this is so worth it. This is one of the ones that's so worth it.
Yeah, so don't panic when you see that much sugar. And then finally, you'll need 4 tablespoons of lemon juice. And then what we did, first of all, is you do need to sterilize your jars. So you get a big pot and you heat up water and you put your jars in there and you let them sit in that hot water for about 10 minutes. Is that correct?
Yeah.
I'm going to let Katrina be my my resource here for the technical aspects, since she's the master food preserver. So while those are heating and getting sterilized, you can go ahead and prepare your ingredients. And all you have to do, this is so easy, you just get a large stainless steel saucepan. You dump the defrosted raspberries in there, and we just used a potato masher. And we just smashed up the raspberries, super easy to mash up. And you whisk in the cocoa until it's all dissolved. And it's too bad it's radio, because you can't see me whisking in the air. I'm whisking.
And she's smiling.
And then you bring it to a boil over high heat and stir it frequently, because you don't want it to stick and burn on the bottom. Then once it boils, you add the sugar all at once. And you stir, 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 and bring it back to a rolling boil, stirring constantly, because with all this sugar and this high heat, it can burn pretty quickly. So just stir it constantly and boil it hard for 1 minute, and then remove it from the heat. I mean, how simple was that?
It's real simple.
Super simple. And then it might have a little bit of foam on the top, so you just take a big spoon and you skim off the foam and you just throw that away.
And the foam is just pretty much for, it doesn't look as pretty.
Yeah.
You know, so it makes it cleaner and prettier, and just
it's
whatever
totally,
you can get off of it, that's fine. It's just presentation.
It's totally edible, because we were using our fingers to eat it, you know. It was really, really tasty. But the foaminess of it, just as Katrina said, doesn't look so
aesthetics.
Great.
Aesthetics.
Yeah. It's not as pretty when it's in the jar. So then you just take your hot jars out of the water, and you just use... There is a special canning tool that grabs jars and takes them out of the water. But if you don't have one of those, you can use just a tongs and just carefully, you know, dump the hot water out of the jar and sit it on the counter and ladle your raspberry chocolate mixture right into the jar. And you want to leave 1/4 inch of head space, which just means, obviously, you don't fill it all the way to the very top of the jar. You want it down below the top, about 1/4 of an inch.
And that's pretty much if you're going to be canning it. And so this, we're not talking about canning today, so that's really not that important. But
yeah.
But if you leave a little bit of space, it doesn't make the top part all gooey if you leave it.
Exactly. I would still leave the quarter inch head space, yeah. I think, even if I wasn't going
to. And you don't have to be precise if you're not canning. It could be a half inch, too.
Right.
So you just
exactly.
don't stress over that one. This is a real simple one because we're not talking about the canning.
The canning part of it, yes.
Come to the class.
Yes.
And so in January.
And so since we're not canning it, then after that, all you're going to do is put your jar lid, you're going to wipe off the surface of the edge of the lid, because believe me, when I was ladling the stuff into the jars, even though we were using a funnel, I was still a slob and managed to drip it on the edge of the jars. So you want to take a clean, damp cloth and wipe off the edges of your jars before you put the lids on.
And if you were going to be canning specifically, you want to do that so you get a better seal.
There you go.
Okay, so you don't want air to get back in there and not seal properly. So come to the canning class. We'll
yes,
tell you all about
you'll
it.
You'll learn all this stuff. But for us, since we're just going to be storing it in the refrigerator, you would put your lid on it. Let it cool a bit because you don't want to put that super hot jar, you know, into the cold refrigerator. So I would cool it, you know, a little bit until you can, you know, touch it and handle the jar. And then I would put it in the refrigerator until you're ready to use it or give it to a friend. It is so yummy.
It is yummy. And if you do decide to can, you could look on our website or you could come to our class, and it's just something that would give it a longer shelf life and that you wouldn't have to put it in the refrigerator. And we can tell you all about how to do that. They're beautiful gifts. And if you did can it, what we told you right now was not the procedure on how to can it. But if you did can it, you could do those in a little package. You can put bows on them. They're wonderful hostess presents, too. It's just you have to have a little bit more knowledge, and it's a little hard to tell you how to do that over
the radio.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
hands-on presentation's better. We need to be real safe when we do this.
Right, right.
It's easy, but we need to be safe.
Yeah. But it'll taste exactly the same.
Same.
So
it's just
you're just gonna
use it soon versus right. in 6 months.
Right. You're going to just store what we just described in the fridge and use it relatively soon. So enjoy that one. That one's really, really yummy.
Gosh, well, you know, I think before we go on to our next project, we could tell everybody, it's our little station ID time, that you are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. And also, the opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the management of KUCI or the UC Board of Regents. For more information about this show, go to kuci.org. There we go. We did what we needed to do to be in compliance with our radio station, and now we could talk about more gifts from the kitchen. Where should we go from here?
Well, I have one more recipe from our Master Food Preserver website. This was actually from their class they did in 2014, their holiday gifts class in 2014. But I especially like this one because it's so super easy. It requires no cooking at all. And I think it makes a wonderful hostess gift, just bar none. Or just give it to everyone in your family because it's such a fun, easy thing to do. Again, this would be a great one to do with kids because it doesn't require any cooking, so it would be, you know, real safe for the kids to do.
And it doesn't have to be precise. It
doesn't have to be precise. And what we're talking about is a spiced finishing salt. And this is so yummy, and it actually is really, really handy to have on hand because I don't know about you, but sometimes after a really, really busy day and you're coming home and all you want to do is throw a couple chicken breasts, you know, in a pan or on the grill, and you don't have time to go to a fancy marinade or anything like that. But if you have this spiced finishing salt, all you have to do is grind it up right on top, you know, in a salt grinder, right over whatever it is you're cooking, and you're done. So I like this one because it's super, super easy to use in the future and super easy to make. So what you need for this one is 8 ounces of sea salt, 2 teaspoons of black peppercorns, 2 teaspoons of white peppercorns, 2 teaspoons of pink peppercorns, and 2 teaspoons of green peppercorns. And if you can't find all of those, obviously you could choose whatever peppercorns you can find and use those in your concoction here. Then what makes it spicy is we're going to add some dried herbs. We're going to add a teaspoon of dried sage, teaspoon of dried rosemary, 1 teaspoon of dried thyme, 4 bay leaves, and 1 teaspoon of dried orange peel. And again, if you can't find dried orange peel, don't worry about it. It will be perfectly fine without the orange peel.
And it's really easy to do, Tina. Can I tell you about
that? Yes, tell us how to do it.
If you don't have, I have a dehydrator, and I love my dehydrator, and I dehydrate all kinds of stuff. But you could put it in the oven, and you make very small pieces, put it in the oven, dry it out. Because what you do, you don't want to put wet orange peels in with your salt and other herbs. Won't work, and it's not good. But just dry it out in the oven at a very low temperature, and once it's dry to the touch, like your other dry herbs, then you can add it.
Great, great idea. And I'm going to talk, because the next little project I'm going to talk about, drying your own herbs. But it is, as Katrina said, a super easy thing to do, to dry orange peel and herbs yourself.
And also, I've made this a whole bunch of times.
Have you?
Can I say
one
more thing?
Oh, you take it away.
You can follow this recipe, or if there's certain herbs that you like and you want to combine, and you like a little bit more of this, and you really don't like so much pepper, and you'd like to have a little bit more of that, that's fine. Go and do it. And you could give it as gifts. You could put it in little bags. You could also go, there's places you could buy real inexpensive grinders, and you could fill them up, and then you could put a ribbon around them and give them as presents. But what I like about it is you get to say, I really like this. You know, Some people don't really like pepper, but they really like rosemary. And if it's for yourself or it's for somebody in your family, you know the kind of the combinations they like and the kind of foods they eat. And you can make special ones with each one of those seasonings in it.
Absolutely. I have different herbs than this in my garden. And I really like marjoram. That's one of my favorite herbs to cook with. So if I was making this, I would put some marjoram in there because I think that it just has a really nice, it's kind of more of a sweeter taste to it. So Katrina's absolutely right. You put in there what you like. I mean, maybe you really like basil and you don't care for sage. Leave the sage out. Put basil in instead. You know, experiment with combinations. Find the one that you like the best and go for it. But all you have to do is take these ingredients that we mentioned or the ones that you're going to substitute, and you just put them all in a small bowl, and then you pour you mix the salt. You know, you just toss it around, stir it around so that it's all mixed together. And then, as Katrina said, you can buy some salt mills, you know, where you put the coarse sea salt in and you grind it up. Well, that's exactly how you're going to use this, is you're going to pour that into a salt mill, and then you can grind it over your fish or your meat or your vegetables or whatever you're going to use it on. So that is a great way to turn it into kind of a double gift, is you have a salt mill that you're giving filled with this mixture that you've made. So that's really cool. But if you don't want to go to the expense of, you know, purchasing a salt mill, what I do is I get the smallest canning jars, you know, the real small ones, and I fill those with this salt mixture. And then, you know, just put the lid on, label it. Always when you're giving something, be sure you give a label. Provide a label that tells folks what's in it. Because, you know, you never know. There might be somebody who, you know, really doesn't care for one of those ingredients, and so they may choose not to use it, heaven forbid. But it is nice, I think, for people to know what you've put in.
And you know what also we recommend to do is put the date on it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, it's not so much with salt, but with other things you're giving, and on the label, just you get very creative in whatever date it was. So
yes.
they, when they have it in their refrigerator, they go, oh, I really like this. I didn't know I had it this long.
Right, right. You would want to, you know, like that chocolate raspberry sauce we're using up, you'll want to use that up. You know, even if it's in the fridge, you're going to want to use that up in a month or so. You're not going to want to take it out a year from now and use it. So, putting the date on is a really good idea.
Or even that raspberry sauce, maybe sooner because of the raspberries.
Oh, there, you think it'd be sooner than 4 weeks? So you
always
do it in what, like a week or two?
Yeah, I tend to shy on the side of being conservative.
Yeah, good idea.
That way you could eat more raspberry sauce in a shorter period
more
of time.
Ice cream.
More ice cream. You have to have ice cream because you have leftover raspberry sauce.
You have to tell your husband, hey, you know what else I would serve it on?
pancakes. Wouldn't that be decadent?
Oh, yeah.
For a holiday breakfast, put a little chocolate raspberry sauce on pancakes. Yum. Sliced bananas on
top. Sliced bananas.
Then the chocolate raspberry sauce.
Oh,
yeah. I'm making myself hungry. But back to our spiced finishing salt. That's it. That's all there is to it. And how fun would it be for kids to do this, you know, especially kids that are just learning about measuring things, you know, and you can tell them, you know, 2 teaspoons and you know, they have to...
Great presents for the whole family.
Right.
It's inexpensive. It's fun. You could put ribbons on them. They could make handmade crafts to put on them. Maybe mom or dad could help them with a glue, you know, do the glue gun part of it so it's attached, or attach it with a ribbon.
Yeah. And, you know, even it's a great math lesson. You know, if you want to make a bunch of these with your kids, you know, you can say, okay, let's double this. And then they have to do all the math to figure out, you know, what the measurements are when you double it. So yeah, lots of fun experiences you can have by making this spiced finishing salt.
And it's really super easy. That's probably one of the easiest ones. There's no cooking. There's nothing there.
Right. And now I have another thing that's kind of similar, but takes a little more effort, because it's one that I do because I have a lot of fresh herbs in my garden. And so I just love to use them and give them, because there are a lot of people who, you know, don't have the space or the time to do their own, you know, herb growing. And so I think that it's kind of fun and meaningful if you do a lot of growing of herbs to give them as gifts. And I went to France for the first time a few years ago, and we went to Provence, and in one of the little shops, actually practically in every little shop that you went in, they had these bags of herbs de Provence. Pardon my French, don't speak French. I'm sure I completely and totally butchered that. But it's called herbs de Provence, and you can actually find, you know, jars of it in the spice section at supermarkets or at some of the gourmet shops, Williams-Sonoma, Sur La Table.
Savory Spice.
Yeah, all of those sell a concoction called Herbes de Provence. And what it is it's just a collection of a number of different herbs that's put together in one container so that you don't have to measure out, you know, half a teaspoon of thyme, half a teaspoon of basil, you know, whatever. It's just all of these herbs have been pre-mixed, so you can just take one measuring spoon, take a, you know, teaspoon or a couple teaspoons of it, throw it in your soup or your vegetables or your meat, whatever it is you're fixing, and it shortens your prep time and it gives you these wonderful flavors. But you can make your own herbs de Provence. And so the way that you do it is you harvest the fresh herbs from your garden. And the herbs that are typically used in herbs de Provence are savory, rosemary, thyme, oregano, basil, marjoram, and fennel seed. Now, of course, you can modify that based on A, what you have in your garden, or B, what you like. For instance, my husband's not a big fan of the flavor of fennel, so when I make this, I don't put any fennel in it. And that's just, you know, our personal preference. So because I have virtually all of these herbs growing in my garden, except for savory, and I actually leave savory out of mine usually because I don't happen to have it in the garden, but the way that I dry these herbs, and Katrina was actually giving you a bit of a preview when she was talking about drying the orange peel, it's the same process. You harvest your herbs, preferably in the morning, but not super early, because you do want the dew to dry off the herbs. It's better not to have, you know, super wet herbs. And you go out and you harvest the ones that look good. You don't want, you know, the broken stems or the ones that are starting to fade or turn brown. So harvest the herbs in the morning. And one reason in the morning for harvesting pretty much any kind of vegetable is they're more full of flavor, water content, and essential oils first thing in the morning than when they've been baking under the sun all day. So just a general hint for harvesting in general. And then after you harvest the herbs, you want to bring them inside, rinse them off well, blot them dry on paper towels, and I usually let them, you know, sit for a while I'm doing something else. And then you just have to get cookie sheets, and you just spread them in a single layer on cookie sheets and put them in a real, as Katrina said, a cool oven, 175. You don't want it over 200 because then they'll actually bake, and we don't want them to be baked herbs. We want them to be dried herbs. And you put them in your oven, or as Katrina said, she has a dehydrator, which is even nicer.
And I put it in a much lower temperature.
Even lower than 175?
Yeah, I usually, depending on the humidity, somewhere about 105 to 115,
really?
And you can put it in a little bit longer, and it dries a little slower.
Okay.
So, but, you know, these are one of these things I don't know if I was master food preserver. I should say you don't have to be perfect, because a lot of times they want you to be perfect.
Yeah, well, in some things, yeah.
We have to be real perfect.
Yeah.
But I tend to do it a little bit lower than that, and then put it on possibly a little bit longer.
Okay, good.
But it works. Whatever works.
Yeah, I think with the herbs, since we're drying them and taking all the moisture out, there is less opportunity for there to be any bacterial growth. And that is the one thing that you do want to do when you're drying these herbs, is you want to keep checking them, and you want to make sure that they are completely dry so that when you feel them, they don't feel damp or moist at all.
You can turn them over while you're doing this.
Absolutely.
Move around.
Yeah, so that all sides are exposed to the warm air and they dry out evenly. And then after you do that, you want them to dry completely and cool off completely.
And then the temperature also has to do with the amount of humidity, too. So it's an approximation there.
Sure, sure. And I find, maybe one of the reasons it works okay for me at 175 is I leave my door cracked on my oven. And so that way, I think maybe it probably isn't really 175 because I'm leaving my door cracked.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but once they're completely dry and completely cooled off, then just get a bowl, and I just strip the leaves. You know, you run your finger along the stem of each sprig of whatever it is, say thyme, and just strip those leaves off and let them fall into the bowl, and you're going to do it. I personally do a separate herb on each cookie sheet because the herbs, based on their structure, thyme dries at a different length of time.
Mm-hmm.
Get it? Time. Takes different amount of time for thyme to dry than it does perhaps for basil or for rosemary. So that's why I put each herb individually on a single cookie sheet so that I can make sure that that herb gets completely dry. And then after you strip the leaves off and you've let them fall in this bowl, you can just mix it up with your hands if they're clean, assuming they're clean, or a spoon. And then you can ladle it again into the clean jars and give them as gifts. Label it as Herbes de Provence, and you can write down which herbs are in it, and you can have that as a wonderful little hostess gift.
Gia, I had a fellow master gardener, and she's also in the Herb Society, give me some fresh Herbes de Provence. And I tell you, that was the best I have ever had, because it was fresh. And it was like, what did you really put in there? Because it was so good compared to what you get in the store typically.
Right.
And I knew there had to be a special ingredient, but I knew better that it wasn't because I could see the ingredients. But it's fresh, and it just makes the whole difference.
It does. And the reason is that those essential oils in the herbs deteriorate and evaporate over time. And so when we buy, herbs at the market, you don't know how long those herbs have been sitting in those jars. So when you make a fresh batch from freshly grown herbs that you've dried and you give it to someone and that's only been in a jar for, a few days or a week or whatever, the flavor is much more intense than what you buy in the store.
Some of the things you do purchase have been out there a long time.
Yeah. So this is another one that's super easy and really, really yummy and appreciated. So how much time? Do we have time for one more?
Oh, we sure do. We have about 15 minutes.
Oh, perfect, because this one is a little more complicated. And Katrina, you jump in here and emphasize anything you think is appropriate, because this one is going to require a little bit of safety, because we're going to talk about making flavored vinegars. So Again, we're going to need to be sure we sterilize the containers that we're putting them in and follow a few more procedures about making sure that this is safe. But the vinegars are obviously, vinegar is acidic. It's very highly acidic. And so highly acidic environments generally do not promote bacterial growth. So homemade vinegars are generally fairly safe, but you do have to follow some procedures to make sure that you're not contaminating anything. So let's get started talking about that. And I want to give you this website. This is not on the Master Food Preserver website for the University of California. It's on the University of Georgia's Cooperative Extension website. But it was a really good publication, so I wanted to use this one. And their website is N as in Nancy, C H F as in food, P as in preserver, .uga.edu. Or you can Google homemade vinegars and this actually pops up. Now, the flavored vinegars, I don't know about you, but I have stopped using purchased salad dressing.
Mm-hmm.
I've just been using flavored vinegars and really good olive oils. And I love the taste of that. You just sprinkle it on your nice fresh salad and it's
wonderful.
So light. And you don't have any preservatives, you know, that you might have in a bottled salad dressing. So I love using flavored vinegars on
salad. You know, and try it out because a lot of people go, oh, vinegar. But it's when it's flavored with something fresh, it takes on a whole new dimension. It's kind of like buying a grocery store tomato and one off the vine.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a good analogy. It really is. Yeah. Yeah. So here's how you go about this. First of all, you need to get your jars and your bottles ready, and you want only to use glass containers. You don't want to use plastic at all, just only glass containers. And, of course, you need to make sure they're in really good shape, no cracks or nicks or anything like that. And they're going to have tops. So they're going to have to either be like canning jars that have the tops that you can screw on, or I know if you go to like the container stores, you can find the glass bottles that have the rubber stoppers mm-hmm. on that you know, can crank down with a little piece of, it's a little metal wire thing, mm-hmm. you know, that cranks them down. So you want those kinds of containers because you do want to seal this vinegar. You don't want to leave the cap off in between uses. You want to make sure it has a lid on it in between using it. And you're going to wash them, of course, first in warm soapy water, and then just like when we were making the chocolate raspberry sauce, we're going to sterilize the glass containers in boiling water for 10 minutes. And then we'll let them sit in the water until we're ready to use them. You just let them sit in the warm, hot water until you're ready to put something in them. So after that, we're going to prepare, while that's the jars are being sterilized, we can get ready preparing our vinegar. And what we need is about 3 or 4 sprigs of whatever herb you're using to 2 cups of vinegar. And personally, I like to use white vinegar because I think that it looks the nicest. If you use apple cider vinegar, you know, that kind of has a browny mm-hmm. color, which to me just isn't as visually appealing. So I like to just use plain old white distilled vinegar.
And that's a preference, too.
Yeah, it's a preference. And some people use rice vinegar or wine vinegar. But I prefer to just use the plain old distilled white vinegar. And then you want to do the same thing with the herbs that we did before, and that is pick them in the morning, wash them, blot them dry. But this time, because we're going to be letting these herbs sit in the vinegar for a certain amount of time to give the flavor into the vinegar, we're going to make sure that these herbs are especially clean. And the way that we do that is we get 6 cups of water and we put 1 teaspoon of bleach, household bleach, in 6 cups of water. So you just get, you know, like a big old bowl and you put 6 cups of water in, cold water. and 1 teaspoon of bleach in the water. Stir it up, and then take your sprigs of herbs and dunk them in that water. Swish them around. So that tiny bit of bleach, if there were any sort of bacteria on your herbs, that will take care of it. So then you take them out, rinse them under running cold water, lay them on paper towels, and blot them dry. Now, one of my favorite herbs to use for flavored vinegar is rosemary. I think that it gives a really, really nice flavor. And the other thing is a sprig of rosemary looks really pretty, in a jar. So I usually make rosemary vinegars, but you can use thyme, you can use basil, you know, you can experiment with different herbs and decide which ones that you like. You can also put, lemon peel in them.
There's a lot of creativity.
You can Google some recipes. You can put peppercorns in. So you can Google some recipes and see which ones that you like. But just in general, we're going to talk about the process here. So what we do next is while those herbs are laying on the paper towels and drying, we're going to heat up the 2 cups of vinegar that we had. And we're going to bring it just below boiling. And then we're going to put the herbs that we're using, the sprigs of herbs that we're using, in a jar, a canning jar. And we're going to pour that warm vinegar over those herbs. And then we're going to seal the jar. We're going to put it in a dark place. And we're going to let it sit for 10 days to 4 weeks. What I do is I take it out after about 10 days and I just take, you know, a tiny little piece of bread and I just dip it in the vinegar to see if it has that rosemary, you know, flavor yet. And if it doesn't, then I let it, you know, sit there for a little while longer. Then after you're content with its flavor, you strain it through cheesecloth a couple of times. Actually do it a couple of times because you don't want to have any bits and pieces of the rosemary, floating around that's been sitting in there for a few weeks because it's not looking all that, you know, great at that point. So I strain it through cheesecloth a couple of times, and once the liquid is really clear and there's nothing in it, then I pour it into whatever container I'm going to use as the gift container, whether it's another canning jar or whether it's one of those pretty bottles that has the little stopper on the top. I do kind of like those pretty bottles, especially for rosemary, because then you can have kind of a nice long sprig of rosemary that is, you stuff that in the jar, you pour the vinegar over it, or you can pour the vinegar in the jar first and then stuff the sprig of rosemary in there, and then you cap it off, and then you have this beautiful sprig of rosemary floating in this vinegar. And it's ready for you to use on your salads or in recipes, and it'll just have a real delicate herbal flavor to it.
And you could just do a simple bow around it, just a little note, something handmade by.
Exactly. Or if you really love this person, you can give them a bottle of your flavored vinegar, a jar of your raspberry chocolate sauce, and a jar of your salt, your savory salt. But you'd have to really like
them.
And then you can put it all in a little gift basket, decorate it with a bow, wrap it in cellophane, whatever. But
It's creativity. Whatever. Yeah. If there's something in your family you like, if there's colors you like, I mean, it's presents from the heart. And they're also healthy.
They are.
The chocolate, I hear, is good for you.
Well, it does have raspberries in it, right?
Yes.
Well, just pretend there's no sugar in it. But anyway, I hope that those give folks some, you know, some ideas to do over the holidays and actually make them into projects, you know? Yeah.
And there's a lot of different ways. You could have a bunch of friends get over. You could have kids get over. You could do it by yourself. You could... a lot of different things you can do. And Tina, would you give out the website address again?
Sure. The website for the Master Food Preservers is ucanr.edu/sites/MFPOC. So that stands for Master Food Preservers Orange County. And
if you can't remember that, just look up Master Food Preservers Orange County.
Just Google it and you'll you'll be taken, it'll pop right up and you'll be able to find it.
You know, I'd love to say to everybody again, it's a fun group of people. If you want to learn how to play in the kitchen and with food preserving and you just want to stick your toes in a little bit, or if you really want to think maybe you want to be a master food preserver, either way, come to one of these classes. You know, the cost of the classes are minimal. It's usually for supplies only. And it's fun. You know, it's fun. It's easy to do. It's a nice way you could spend the evening or an afternoon with a couple girlfriends or all by yourself. It doesn't really matter. Or guy friends. Husbands and wives come. It is a really nice, safe place, fun place to be, and it could spark your curiosity, and you can go in a lot of different directions.
Do we have time for me to give folks the details of the next class?
Yes, please.
Okay. So the next class in January is called Preserving the Season's Bounty, and it is on January 14th, 2016, which is a Thursday. And it is the basics of preserving. So if you have never preserved before, or even if you have, because I grew up with my mom preserving, but I have to tell you, going to this class was a great thing for me to do because it refreshed my memory and also taught me some things that perhaps, you know, I wasn't doing in the most precise way. And when you're preserving, you want to be super, super safe. So this class on Thursday, January 14th is actually offered twice in that same day. So there's a class that goes from 3 to 5 p.m. or if you work, you can take the one from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. if you have a daytime job. Both classes are identical, so choose which one fits your schedule best.
So it's January
14th, which is a Thursday.
January 14th, 2016. Mm-hmm.
I know, new year coming right up. And let me tell you where it is. It's at the South Coast Research and Extension Center of the University of California, and that's in Irvine, California, 7601 Irvine Boulevard. And again, the cost is pretty reasonable, I think. It was $25. That's what I paid for the gifts one earlier this month. But for $25, you get 2 hours of instruction, hands-on instruction. They'll even loan you an apron. You don't even have to bring your own apron.
And you go home with things.
And I went home with a cranberry mustard, the chocolate raspberry sauce, and they let us assemble a jar of dehydrated vegetables that was just beautiful because it was, you know, a layer of peas, a layer of carrots, you know, all these different colored vegetables that you can use to make a soup.
Yeah.
Over the season, in the winter, when soup tastes so good.
And that's another part of classes they teach, is if you want to dehydrate food, you have leftover bounty, you could just do stuff like that.
Yeah.
Easy.
But this class in January, January 14th, is the basics of preserving. And what they're going to do is teach you how to can with, you know, using the hot water bath canning and how to just be safe with storing food, freezing food, defrosting food, all of that stuff. You'll learn to make freezer jam at this one, which I think is super easy and very
cool.
It's
super. That's one of the things I started off with.
Yeah.
But you do need to register for the class.
Absolutely.
You just can't just show up because they have to buy supplies, and there's limited amount of space, so do register. Go to the website. Register.
And they do fill up because the one that I took, the class from 6:30 to 8:30 was full, so I had to go to the 3 o'clock class because they had already filled up on the other class. And you know, I did misspeak. It's not canning on this one. It's actually freezer jam that you're making on this one. Yeah, so I misspoke. But it's a freezer jam and vacuum sealing and other food preservation methods. So, and I'm sure you'll get to take good stuff home.
Yeah, there. It's the basics. If you haven't done it before, this is a great class. We try to get you real comfortable with it, and it kind of gives you the overview of everything. And with that, Tina, I think we're just about out of time.
Well, happy holidays to you, Katrina.
Happy holidays to you, too, and happy holidays to everybody out there. I hope it's filled with love and joy and all good things for everybody.
And lots of gifts from the garden.
Indeed. Thank you all.